I am excited about this. I was at University of North Carolina for a number of years, and we had this stuff going on all the time, and it never happens here, and I miss it. And there's just some, there's a camaraderie that develops here and that sharing that's beautiful to me. And so I'm glad to be here tonight. I wanted to start, most of my work is about what I experienced in growing up here. We lived on that end of 4th Street, and there were a number of shotgun houses down in there. It wasn't a wealthy neighborhood by any means, but it was one of the most colorful childhoods I think a kid can have, so I feel blessed for having been there. One of my first, I'll read mine a real short. I don't do long poetry. I'm not long and did it unless I'm talking. First grade teacher, Miss Stryker, wire-haired wearer of long witch dresses, gave us the golden gift of reading. Eagle-fingered, she snatched bad boys by the hair of their heads and marched them frontward for public scourging. Before Billy started school, he had his hair cropped close to his head. the street, I think we call Commerce Street out here now, and it wasn't that when I lived here. It was something else, like 3rd Street or something like that. But there were some shotgun houses down there away from the marsh side. And one lady who lived there was a good friend of our family, was a older black lady whose family had been slaves in this area, and we were just fascinated by her. But her name, we called her Aunt Mary Peaton. In a three-leg cauldron, she cooked and stirred with a stick dirty clothes and anything we brought her, collards, catfish, possums, eagles, owls, our daddy shot from the pecan trees. Her mangy dogs watched her sweat-eyed from the shade of her shriveled house and sick fig bushes. She stirred and sang, "Gonna march on down Jordan and wash my sins away." She called us her white children. She never invited us to eat. this book I wrote, and I'm going to have reprinted, out of them, I've got like 3 left. But this was my first attempt to keep Apalachicola alive. When I was in North Carolina, I hungered for this place until I finally managed to get back 15 years ago, and I wouldn't be anywhere else. I love being back here in Apalachicola. These were two people in our neighborhood, Miss Patty and Miss Briggs. Miss Patty and Miss Briggs were both widows. They lived right next to each other. The last 2 houses on the right going down 4th Street, just before you get to what we call the ditch, was our big playground. And they hated each other, and they were at odds with each other as long as I knew them, and they provided great entertainment. Miss Patty. Miss Patty kept her broomstick body clad in ankle-length summer cotton. She tied black granny boots onto her feet and a silver-gray bun in her hair. When vagrant dogs sniffed their way over the sand in her yard, she came out and shot them with her blunderbuss gun. We were afraid to go in after our softballs, rubber balls, footballs, basketballs. We thought she was a witch, but all she brewed was bathtub moonshine she sold through the window to handless dollar hands that stole down the path through the swamp behind her house. Once a year, Mama said, Miss Patty would call her over and give her back a grocery sack full of bottles. Mrs. Briggs, with glancing eyes of a leather-faced rat, she wore her husband's cast-off shoes to dig for treasure at the dump. Books, papers, dishes, whatnots, clothes to wear to the docks, where she asked for fish heads to carry home in the tow sack she found behind the A&B, while gleaning garbage for old bread, soup bones, onions, cabbage. She gathered blackberries beside the road, bananas from trees in the swamp. She told her hungry eyes about bear traps under her grapefruit tree, read a Bible verse over Danny's cut face to stop the blood, She made wash pots stewed with fish heads, served it in cracked plates to her hawk-nosed husband while he called her a bloody fool. When he died, she put quarters in his eyes, a new black suit on his bones, and buried him on the rich folks' side of the graveyard. My uncle, B.B. Sorensen, came here to tend the Cape San Blas Lighthouse, and then later they built the drawbridge over the river, and he moved into Apalachicola to tend the drawbridge, and he loved it here. It felt like he had come home. He had started on the Cape Fear River, which was very much like Apalachicola in that it was right at the mouth of a big river, was 2 hours from the state capital and 2 hours from Myrtle Beach, like we're from Panama City. And he loved it here. That's why I'm here today. But I wrote this in honor to him. B.B., Uncle Blicker sprouted beside the Little Blicker sprouted beside the river, rode with his gusty father to nurse river lights that steered specter ships through murky nights. Young Blicker pledged his fortune to blue-eyed half-breed Molly, gave her 3 boys, 2 girls, 3 dead. Papa Blicker fired tower lights that blinked Cape Fear and fish by day for his dinner off the point he named for the sun. Grandpa Blicker raised collard greens, tomatoes, chickens, and dogs that gathered at his feet and called him Lord. He fished in the bay for supper until the shore lights beckoned him to port. Lillian. After Grandma died, Grandpa wrote the Texas Lonely Hearts Club. This really happened right here in Apalachicola. And Lillian came round and plump, smelling of Pond's lotion and powder, calling him darling. She quilted, kept the latest one hoisted to the parlor rafters on a boarded frame, and learned to keep the preacher waiting at church for Sunday dinner while Grandpa got the chicken, rice and gravy, butter beans, biscuits, and pound cake ready. It was on their wedding night, her braids unraveled and combed to her knees, then worked and wound like gift wrap ribbons around her head when he loved her first. And I think I'm just going to read this one more. I've got a couple more, I think.
You might run out of time for everybody else.
This is, I memorialized this because I knew it was actually no more when I moved back, and I really loved this image when I was a kid. Crossing the St. Mark's Trestle. Some nights I remember how the marsh mud sucked and bubbled, the sun baked my head, how the slobbering fiddler crabs scratched their claws and slinked away from us into their holes. Down the rail, a lizard scuttered and flicked into a crevice dark of a splinter of time. Hot creosote pricked and burned my feet. Through the spaces between the ties, fiddler crabs and sawgrass reeds passed away, and the brown blood and water rippled me dizzy. Let's go back, I heard Mama say. I just wanted the kids to see this trestle. Once they take up this line, we won't get another chance to see it. 30 years, and yet some nights I see it stalking the marsh. I smell Daddy's camel smoke and the sweat on my lip. Spaces grow where ties have rotted and fallen away. They grow and trestle rises until the sun falling through the spaces roils and ripples me dizzy.
Thank you.